Welcome to Redeem the Commute Stress and Anxiety course. I'm Ryan, your host. We hope that you enjoy the course today and get a chance to think about or discuss the question at the end with others. Just as a general reminder, the course includes general tips, and you should absolutely see a medical health professional to understand your specific situation. The course is offered by Dr. Kate Witheridge, and here she is now.
All right. So how do we shift our physical response? So like I said, we've had thoughts, we've had behaviors. What do I do with how I feel? So I alluded to this earlier, but anxiety is all about the fight or flight response, right? It's our body's way of responding to danger. It's actually really adaptive. If I'm being chased by a bear, I want all this stuff to happen because I want to run away or fight back. So adrenaline is released, but often what we notice with stressors is that our heart rate starts going up, which makes sense. If I'm running away from a bear, I want blood to go through my body a little bit faster. Our breathing is increased because we want to get oxygen in, and that fight piece, that irritability, right? I need to prepare for danger. We start hyperventilating, which is usually sort of like thinking of paper bag hyperventilating, but we start breathing from our chest up. You know, so if you start noticing taking really short, shallow breaths, or if you sigh a lot or you yawn a lot, you're probably breathing from this part of your chest upwards, right? So we start noticing dizziness, tingling our extremities, because there's actually an imbalance between oxygen and carbon dioxide. And our body is like, you need to slow down. So it tries to slow down our breathing, but then we feel like we can't breathe. It's also where that chest tightness comes from, because if you ever try and breathe from your ribs, like they're connected to your sternum, they don't expand as much as your diaphragm. So all of a sudden, my chest feels tight, I feel like I can't breathe, my heart's racing, start panicking a little bit more. Our pupils dilate, so great if you're looking for bears in the woods, but people often find when they start feeling anxious, we see spots. Shoppers, Drug Mart is notorious for making people anxious because it's very bright and fluorescent. My office at CAMH was kind of that color, but a little more fluorescent than the Kermit. All four walls. And when I was treating people with panic disorder, they would come in and they're like, honestly, your walls kind of give me the same sensation as when I'm having panic attacks, because it also gives people after images of pink. So they look at the wall and they look at me and there's like pink lines. So there might be other colors, there might be other sensations. It's why we're jumpy. It's why clothing feels uncomfortable. It's why we're distracted by noises. Makes sense if I'm walking through the woods and I want to make sure I'm not being attacked by a bear. Really hard when we're actually trying to get work done. And as I alluded to earlier, it's really hard to focus. Our cognitive processing slows down. You know, if I'm running away from bears, I'm not trying to understand calculus or read articles or process, you know, like, how do I work on my finances? It's just like, and I heard this noise over here and this, and my clothes are uncomfortable and really jumpy. So what do we want to do to actually work on this? So what we want to think about this is anxiety comes in a curve. So apologies because this like ended up being me doing a screenshot, because when I made the real version of it, it was all weird lines. But we want to think about actually waiting out our anxiety curve. So often we try and get rid of it quickly, but it reinforces the only way to get rid of my anxiety is to not sit with it. What we want to think about is actually getting rid of that sort of top line and waiting out our anxiety curve in different ways. So we've done a bit of breathing, but the point of breathing is not necessarily that it's going to change your life in 5 deep breaths. I had a group today and somebody's like, you know, every time I talk about, you know, my emotions and my mental health, everybody's like, just practice mindfulness, which is in itself being present in the moment and breathing. But what I will say about breathing is that we want to work on whatever it is that's feeding into our anxiety response by changing our physical response. So box breathing is thinking about our breath in a square. So you guys can follow along as I talk about this, but we want to think about inhaling for 4. We want to add a pause, so we usually say 4, although for me, if I pause for 4 counts, I feel like I'm holding my breath, so you don't want to do that. But just add a pause. Exhale for at least 4, and then add a pause. So the general idea is, rather than sort of those quick, rapid breaths, just sort of thinking about inhaling for 4. Add a pause. Exhale for 4. Add a pause. So you can use this as an image, but it's a great way of practicing this. I recommend doing this even if you're not particularly anxious in the moment. I practice on the subway. I practice when I'm sitting at work. It's a way of also just checking in, like, am I short, shallow breathing? Can I help myself kind of feel more calm, knowing that deep breathing slows down our heart rate, it relaxes our muscles, and if my heart rate has gone down, my muscles are relaxed, I might feel more calm. Breath waltz is similar, so it's in counts of three, because waltzes are in counts of three. But it's the same thing, adding a word to it. So the idea of inhaling for three and then exhaling with a word that's calming, or if people bend yoga, sometimes they'll do things like inhale calm, exhale stress. So if you like to have a word with it, same thing, sort of inhaling for three counts. Sometimes we say exhale for six. And then the final one is similar, sort of Buddha or diaphragmatic breathing. So just focusing on breathing from your diaphragm. The best way to do this is to work on putting your hands on your belly and then making sure you breathe in a way that you can actually tell your hands are kind of spreading out, right? Because we often breathe and our shoulders go up, which means we're not breathing from our diaphragm. But if we can kind of breathe and notice, you know, people have seen babies breathing, their bellies get really big. Why? Because they're breathing from the diaphragm. They're not stress breathing. So try those techniques. Grounding technique is good if you're kind of at high level of anxiety. So kind of deep breathing is good even if you're at high levels of anxiety, but sometimes it's helpful to think about if I'm kind of in that panic state, what can I do to kind of bring myself back to a state of calm using the five senses? So we do this a lot for people who have high levels of emotion, it feels kind of overwhelming, I feel this urge to act quickly, what can I do to calm down? So the idea of grounding is to focus on the here and now. So what we would do is say, all right, so naming three things you can see in as much detail as possible. So if I'm feeling really overwhelmed and I'm in this room, I might say, I can see a Kleenex box that's blue and has white lettering and white Kleenexes in it. And then I might notice other things like, what can I hear? This is a relatively quiet room because I'm talking, but there might be things that I can hear, noticing as much detail. And what can I feel on the outside of my body? So once again, kind of bringing yourself to a present moment. An interesting example I have of this is I was on a plane while I was in grad school, and somebody was a Vietnam sort of veteran, and we were on a prop plane, which is not a good thing for someone who's been to Vietnam, and he started having flashbacks. And here I am, like, second year, like, PhD student. I was like, what skills do I know in this situation? Because I got to ride this one out for the next 40 minutes. So we did grounding. I was like, okay, so let's sit on this plane, and rather than focusing on the thing that's triggering it, let's focus on your arms on this chair. Let's focus on, you know, like, let's look at the in-flight magazine, and what do you see? What colors do you notice? Let's look around and say, what can you see that's green? What can you see that's blue? So we can do the same thing anytime we're feeling overwhelmed or anxious. Like, bring yourself back to the present moment. And you want to do things that are very concrete. And the reason why we talk about things on the outside of our body is because if we focus internally, sometimes we start feeling really anxious. So other ways of doing this are things that have different textures, cold objects, warm objects, but a great way of kind of bringing yourself back to it. And like it says here, start with three things and two things and one thing as many times as you need to do it. You can also do grounding around colors, like, okay, I'm going to name things that I see that are red, green, blue, but just as a way to bring yourself back to the moment. Any questions about that? It's also just a great way of, like, being present in the room that you're in, right? Because sometimes we're like, oh, I'm just walking down the street. What's going on? It's like, okay, let me start naming green things as I'm walking down the street. Let me do this. So it's a great way of also just even bringing yourself back to non-ruminating about things. So this is one of my favorites for really intense emotions. So a very quick way of actually decreasing sort of panic level distress, so this can apply to anxiety, we do it for other emotions as well, is what we call the diver's reflex. So the basic principle behind this is if we put our face in cold water or put something cold on our face, it automatically slows down our heart rate, it slows down our breathing, and actually creates a sense of calm. It's the same thing kind of like if you jump into a cold body of water, right? That feeling of like, right? And I know Mike's a triathlete, and, you know, like, so I know some people, when they're actually doing triathlon, stick their face in the water and they panic. Why? Because it's like, I'm feeling good, put my face in the water, and automatically heart rate goes down, breathing changes. So we can use this productively. So sticking your face in cool water or putting ice packs in your face, peas, you know, splashing cool water on your face. And what it does is it just actually slows down your heart rate, slows things down quickly. If you have heart problems, low blood pressure, don't do this. But other than that, it's actually a really great one. And I often recommend even just trying it to see what happens if you're not in that moment of panic. But it's a great one to kind of immediately shift yourself out of that really intense, distressing emotion. If you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're really angry, if you're really sad, try that one.
Well, thanks for joining us for day 6 of the stress and anxiety course. Today we talked about shifting our physical response to stress, and there were some breathing exercises, and Kate mentioned more than one, so think about the ones you learned about and try one out. Does it work for you? If not, try another one. Find something that will help you breathe and relax and be calm. And of course, I'd encourage you to consider our daily prayer offering through Redeem the Commute as well. Another great way to spend some time each day with God, asking Him to help you calm, and pairing that with some just quiet meditative time, some deep breathing might actually be really helpful to you. So, hope you have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.